It's time for our weekly conversation surrounding the subdivision with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, when we thought we knew something about the subdivision, evidently another week that tells us that we know almost nothing. South Dakota pulling off that upset against South Dakota State. I know you had mentioned on your show you weren't ready quite yet to pick against the Jacks. Are you now after that performance and how the Yotes seemed to control the pace of play?
They really did. And the Jacks are going to get healthier in these last 2 weeks. But can reinforcements come fast enough to save their season is the question, y'all. And the young man who played quarterback for them last week did a very good job. And I was talking with the guy from Jackrabbit Illustrated, and I said, there's 60 teams in FCS that guy would be the starter on right now, right? And He was buried at third on their depth chart. So, you know, it was a valiant effort by the Jackrabbits, very depleted. But you want to talk about valiant efforts and those efforts being rewarded? Man, the Yotes just didn't give up on the season, did they? They kept fighting. They kept persevering. And they're at a spot now where if they can win the last couple of ball games, they're going to find themselves in the playoffs and probably find themselves with a seed.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they just played some darn good ball. You guys have them at number 15 this week on the poll, just ahead of South Dakota State. I know how you guys look at it and go, it's because of what happened over this past week. You're not looking at what could be in a month from now or what was a month previously. You see North Dakota State at number one. North Dakota, even with the loss, stays in your top 10. Can you walk us through what you saw with that Bison and Hawks game up in Grand Forks and why you still have UND in that top 10 with that loss?
He throws the ball with a little bit more air under it, and that's a touchdown. And, you know, it's dancing in the streets in the grandest of Forks, right? So, you know, they have played tough. They have played well the last 2 weeks and all season. They just haven't got a lot of bounces. And when you stand toe-to-toe with a team that has run everybody just about off the football field like the North Dakota State Bison had, you stand toe-to-toe with them and have the ball in their end of the field and are taking a shot to win the football game, how can you drop a team who's done that? And I mean, we just felt like, you know, with the movement that happened around them last week, that it was warranted to keep them right where they were.
Kevin, when you go back to that South Dakota State game, I'm a little curious, where do you see the Coyotes then? I know they got a win against a banged-up SDSU squad, but USD only has one game left. They got to go on the road to Southern Illinois, which is not going to be an easy game, especially with the Coyotes on the road. They have struggled away from the Dakota Dome. They're 2-3 on the road overall. Does South Dakota have to win that game, get to 8-4 overall? I know one was a FBS loss, but do they have to win that game against Southern Illinois to make the playoffs, or is that just an opportunity for them to potentially get a top 8 seed?
That's a really good question, and I hate to do this. I do it every week. I just don't know the answer to that. If we have more carnage this week like we've had the last 2 weeks in the top 25, who knows? But you would feel better about it, a whole lot better, if you could go down there to Carbondale and whip the Salukis. And, you know, look, that Salukis team is a team with an awful lot of offense, and they're kind of defense challenged. The Yotes are going to have to make it their type of ball game. Defense, running game, control the clock, and a game in the 30s does not benefit them. If they can hold them down, try to win the game 24-17, something like that, the Yotes have a really good shot to get to 8-4, and that'll be a squad nobody's going to want to see if they can get to the national playoffs.
When you look out west, if I'm not mistaken, in the Big Sky last week, and you had a couple of big wins, both by Montana, Montana State. Montana's actually was obviously a lot less impressive. They only beat Eastern Washington 29-24. And if I'm not mistaken, there was a mistake by the Eastern Washington quarterback when he tried to spike the ball to save a play left. After last week's game, I know Montana's 10-0. Montana State is 8-2. They have yet to play. They'll play in the Brawl of the Wild coming at the end of the regular season. Do you still have or do you still feel that Montana is the better of the two squads right now?
No, and that's weird because I have them ranked higher, right? I think that they are a bit challenged on defense, and especially against the passing game. And the Montana State defense is not giving up a whole lot of points. They're playing extremely well. The Grizz have a defense that's athletic. It's twitchy. You know, they have the guys, and they look the part, but they just aren't where they're supposed to be in some occasions. And it really hasn't hurt them until the second half of a couple of ball games this year, where they've held leads and have teams come storming back, and then they'll have to score another couple of touchdowns at the end to make it look better than it was. But a 10-0 team from the Big Sky Conference versus an 8-2 team from the Big Sky Conference who are going to play each other in a couple of weeks, you know, what difference does it really make where they are before that game, right? That's something mm-hmm. that's kind of going to sort itself out here. And we're all going to be watching that. That's a popcorn game, as Stone Labanowitz says. Get your beer, get your feet up, watch that thing. Maybe ESPN Game Day will come to Missoula. That would be a huge deal. I know in the FBS there are some games that are also attractive that weekend. But, you know, the Brawl of the Wild is going to be a huge game like it always is. And, you know, somebody who wins that game is probably going to be the 2 seed, and the person that loses it may be the 3 or at least the 4. So it's a huge game for seeding implications.
When we look over at the Big South OVC Conference, Tennessee Tech undefeated. They get a shot at an FBS team taking on Kentucky this week, and then they'll finish up against Tennessee Martin. How legit is Tennessee Tech when it comes to their season, their strength of schedule? Because I'm trying to look at their schedule and see if they've really beaten anybody of note. I kind of like to get your opinion on this Tennessee Tech squad.
Bobby Wilder is a hell of a head coach. He has changed the culture at Tennessee Tech. The first time they've ever been 10-0 in school history. So that's nothing to, you know, look down upon. Are they a paper tiger? Perhaps. Tennessee Martin is a team that usually wins that league. They're not as good as they usually are, but they've gotten better as the season has gone. They're pretty solid on the defensive side of the ball. We all saw that in the FCS playoffs last year, right? Went on the road and just absolutely whipped a CAA team, and then went to Missoula, or Bozeman, and competed for quite a while against that really good Montana State team. So, you know, this is a question mark, that last game. Could Tennessee Tech lose it? Absolutely. And Tennessee Martin will love nothing more than to spoil what could be a perfect record against the FCS. Not expecting them to beat Kentucky, but they could have a perfect record against the FCS if they can outlast Tennessee Martin.
When you look over at the Ivy League, you know, I'm still pretty excited that obviously the Ivy League is part of the FCS playoffs. Harvard remains undefeated. They've got a couple of games coming up here to finish off the regular season. They got a game against Penn, but then they got that annual classic against Yale. When it comes down to it, is the Ivy League just a one-bid league, or is there any chance that if Yale pulls an upset in the final week, you get to see maybe Yale and Harvard in the playoffs? Or does that still kind of go back to me talking about the Coyotes, where it depends on what else happens to create chaos in the FCS division?
It really does depend on what else happens, Jace. But I wouldn't not take into account that Yale and Harvard are big brands, maybe not in FCS football, but in the minds of people in the country. And if you have an opportunity and you can make a case for it, and the case isn't crazy, maybe this committee says, you know, what's going to draw more eyeballs? What's going to get more people interested than Harvard and Yale in the FCS playoffs in their first year? You cannot not take into account the PR angle there, right? But it can't be a crazy thing. You have to be able to justify it. So I would love to see Harvard be undefeated and get that high seed and be able to, you know, play a team that they can beat and see how far they can go in the FCS playoffs. I'm really excited about the Ivy League, and I can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth, right? I used to be just you do your own thing, I understand. Mm-hmm. Not going to pay a whole lot of attention. But I've enjoyed watching them play football this year. It's a unique brand of ball. And they have some dudes. Look at the offensive line for Harvard. There's some dudes with size, and with the no redshirting rule in Ivy League football, you'll look at a lot of teams around the country in FCS, top level, and FBS, and they've got a grad transfer from Harvard or Yale or Dartmouth who obviously those cats could play or the other teams wouldn't want them.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference a year can make in wanting to watch Ivy League football now. in the Valley this weekend. We know North Dakota State with UNI, the Harvest Bowl. North Dakota's at Murray State. But the two games that are really interesting, South Dakota at Southern Illinois and then Illinois State at South Dakota State. We've been talking about it for a month now at this point. The Valley possibly cannibalizing itself. Of those two matchups, is there an outcome that could knock somebody out of the playoff race? And if so, at the same point, is there somebody who's going to end up probably being on the road in the postseason that's going to give somebody some fits just because they're in the Valley?
I mean, yes. And if you're South Dakota State, you do not like this matchup. It doesn't look like Chase Mason is going to play again. Head coach Dan Jackson said they're not going to run him out there until he's 100% and can do the things that he's capable of and really protect himself out there. And if he doesn't play and Luke Marble doesn't play, well, we know what we're going to get from the third string guy. He can really sling it, but he is not a plus guy really like Chase Mason is when the play breaks down and you got to go and get a first down with your legs or on the design QB runs. So the Jackrabbits need to win one of the last two, I think, to get in. Two of two would be great, but it's really strange to be talking about the South Dakota State Jackrabbits as a bubble team for the FCS playoffs. Really a bizarro world type situation considering they were 7-0 just a couple of weeks ago.
And well, Kevin, just to kind of add on to that, obviously the loss against NDSU, it feels like NDSU has separated themselves from everybody as of right now. The loss to Indiana State was a shocker. The loss to South Dakota was an upset, but obviously if you're not healthy, you can't really, you know, do much about that. But yeah, to finish the season, South Dakota State, they host Illinois State, then they have to go up to the Alaris Center in Grand Forks, take on the Fighting Hawks, which, as we know, there's a lot of weird things that happen up at the Alaris Center. So, I mean, there is probably a slight possibility, maybe even a good probability, if Chase Mason is not healthy, that they end the season on a 5-game losing streak, and maybe, just maybe, they're scratching their heads going, how did we miss the playoffs?
That's true. And I can always tell when you put on your Fargo media hat, Jace, because you said North Dakota State has completely separated themselves from everybody else. And my first thought was, have they? They won by 13 combined points the last 2 weeks, dude.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
And one of those games was in their building,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's, you know, I was beginning to think that a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then we saw teams, they have some weaknesses, and they've exploited them on the Bison. And they have been able to overcome that, like they most of the time do, right? But you have to just feel like, you know, if you're everybody else, if you play the best game you're capable of and they play a little shabby, I think teams are starting to think that perhaps the Bison are gettable. And that is not how it usually works this time mm-hmm. of the year, is it?
No, you have to play the perfect game. You have to make zero mistakes, and the Bison have to be the team to make the mistakes because as we've seen for the last decade plus, Kevin, when you make a mistake, NDSU inevitably, especially come playoff time, they find a way to capitalize on your mistakes, and they don't make any. So you have to, like you said, play perfect, and hopefully you can capitalize on a mistake or two from NDSU.
I mean, just look back to that SIU game. They're driving. Maybe going to take the lead at the half, fumble the ball. A couple plays later, it's a long touchdown, and that ball game was over. You just can't afford to do those things against the Bison and expect to win in that building or against that team no matter where the game takes place. That's true.
As we're getting close to the end of our conversation this week, your guys' is National Players of the Week for FCS Nation on the offensive end of the ball was Youngstown State's Bo Brungard, who is an electric quarterback. I mean, 4 touchdown passes, 2 on the ground, 100-yard rush, and 350 through the air. And then defensively, it was North Dakota State's Donovan Woolen, who ended up with 17 tackles, 8 of which were solos. I'm just going to give you a second to gush about the players of the week for the Valley fans here locally in Fargo.
Well, that young man playing quarterback at Youngstown State is being completely underrated nationally, I think. He's a weapon with his legs, and he can spin it, and the guys around him believe in him. He's a leader, and he does everything that you want at the quarterback position. I really wanted to give it to Teron Dickens from Western Carolina, 551 yards, 7 touchdowns, but he lost the game to Mercer 49-47. It's hard to give a guy player of the week when you can't lead your team to a win, right? Mm-hmm. So, but Wolin, the linebacker from North Dakota State, he had a day. There's no doubt about that. What was it, the second most tackles by a Bison player in the last 5-7 years, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on a team that is noted for its defense, when you have a standout day like that, you've got to get national recognition. And he's also, and he'll tell you all about that, need to get Bison fans involved. Go to our website, fcsnationradio.com. Click on the Alex's Lemonade Stand link at the top of the page. Go down to the next page, check the standings. And if you don't like where your North Dakota State Bison are in this fundraising effort to end pediatric cancer in our lifetime, well, there are several ways you can help the Bison get up to the top of that list. It'll all be explained to you on that page.
Most definitely. And in closing with you this week, Kevin, FCS Nation, what's on the docket for our WDAY radio listeners of this weekend?
We're going to do what we always do. We're going to take a quick look back at last week. We'll preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. And if you're blind and your mother didn't go to firm, maybe you can take the pick segment and make a little money on the side. So that's what we got coming up this week. It's always a real pleasure to be able to be a host. And need to make it to Fargo. It's been too long.